Listeners, just a heads up that this episode deals in part with the topic of domestic and sexual violence. If you are experiencing either, please know there are organizations like Cata House in Mankato, Minnesota, that can provide free safety and support. Hello, and welcome to Learning for Life at Gustavus, the podcast about people teaching and learning at Gustavus Adolphus College, and the myriad ways that Gustavus liberal arts education provides a lasting foundation for lives of fulfillment and purpose. I'm your host, Greg Castor, faculty member in the Department of History. Caffeine dehydrates you. Goldfish have a 3-second memory. And running barefoot is better for you than running with shoes. These are all myths. A survivor's truth about their experiences of domestic and sexual violence is never a myth. This is the arresting beginning of an important article written by my guest today and published recently in several southern Minnesota newspapers. The author, Abigail Abby Visner, is a communication studies major and Spanish minor at Gustavus, class of 25. She's also a member of the cross-country and track and field teams and serves on the campus Student Athlete Advisory Council. Her article grew out of an internship she has had and still has with Cata Inc., C-A-D-A. Cata Inc., a nonprofit in Mankato, Minnesota, dedicated to, quote, supporting survivors and violence-free communities. Reading the article, I knew immediately I wanted to podcast with Abby about the issues it addresses, her work with Cata, and her own journey thus far, and I'm delighted she could join me on this second day of the 2024 spring semester at Gustavus to talk about all of that and more. So welcome, Abby. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, my pleasure. And so you're on campus. I'm here in Minneapolis today recording. The wonders of technology, as I always say. It's still early. I know. Yeah, it's still early, but how does your semester look? What are you taking? What courses?
Well, the semester is looking really good right now. I'm ahead on credits. So I'm taking 3 courses this semester. I'm taking a Spanish class to finish off my minor, and I'm also taking 2 communication studies classes to continue working towards my major.
That's excellent. Wow. Fantastic. And I know this summer you have a new internship. We can talk about that later. So are you a senior now or junior? You're going to graduate next. Are you graduating this May?
No, I'm a junior technically, but I'm a senior in credits.
Oh, senior in credits. Okay.
Yes. I have, after this semester, I'll have 2 credits left to graduate, but I'm going to try and prolong my time so I can make the most of my college experience.
Oh, good for you. So will you graduate like in December then? Is that the idea? Take a year from December or?
I could graduate in December, but I'm going to try and last it out to the spring just because I love being on campus.
Okay, that's good. Well, I'm glad you're doing that. Some students, yeah. I know nationwide, it's understandable. Money, right? Some students want in and out in 3 years or even 2.5. So I'm glad to hear that. That sounds like a good mix of courses. As I was telling you before, well, you probably know you're up in the Comp Studies Department, the History Department. Mm-hmm. Comp Studies departments are adjacent in that wonderful building, Beck Hall, that I call the mothership, and I barely leave unless I need to. I guess that's the newest building on campus. How was your, did you do a January term or not?
I did do a J term. I took Comm Law, which was also for my major and my challenge seminar, but it was an incredible course. I am not interested in law at all, really, but Professor Braun is just incredible and such an intriguing and like well-spoken prof.
So that's Mark Braun, right? Professor Mark Braun?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, of the Comm Studies Department. Yeah.
Right. So I just really enjoyed that class.
That's, so you said, did you say, you said Comm Law or Con with an N?
Comm. Yes.
Comm with an M, Mike. Yeah. So what does that cover? Just all different regulations and things or?
Basically, I guess Comm Law stands for communications law. So that covers the First Amendment. So like your freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, all of those freedoms. And it tied it back into like the media, TV, radio, broadcasting, all of that kind of stuff.
Ooh, that sounds not only interesting, but incredibly timely. I'm not sure how we taught that course. That's great. So that was your J term and your challenge seminar, which is part of our challenge curriculum, soon to be revised, or I guess it already has been revised, but we're keeping the challenge seminar. Yeah, I'm teaching a challenge seminar this spring on abolitionism. We should, for listeners, the challenge seminars at Gustavus pose a question, a challenge, and then you spend the semester working on that. You do a project too? Did you do something like that for the J term?
Yes, correct. We did two projects, a midterm and then a final, and our midterm was on an international problem related to freedom of speech, and then our final was related to a national problem relating to freedom of speech.
Did you get to choose, or was it just assigned?
Yeah, we got to choose. So my group actually looked into the UK for our international problem because they just recently moved to pass a new bill that will give basically the government access to everyone's private data.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So we looked into that because it states that the goal is to protect the kids when passing this bill to kind of keep them safe on the internet. But in doing so, it kind of increases censorship and the access to people's like text messages, photos, etc.
Right. Did you have a choice for the final too? Was that the same?
For the final, we got to choose from six topics, and my group chose commercial speech. So we talked about a bill that's possibly going to be passed in New York, and it talks about an interstate through New York that's about 600 miles, and they're proposing that all restaurants on that highway need to be open 7 days a week.
Oh my God. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, which is a problem when some of them are Chick-fil-A's. So we really focus on that.
God, that sounds like you did all that in one J term. That's amazing. That's fantastic.
I know.
It's funny because you mentioned about protecting kids from, technology. That was a big deal. The tech bros, what to use that term, gender term, were at least some of them testified before Congress, as I'm sure you know. And then I was just listening to a podcast. I never, maybe I'll send you the link. It was about facial recognition and that can be used for ill and for, good, I guess, around crime. But it's interesting because I didn't know this. I'm from the Chicago suburbs, and the state of Illinois, I did not know this, has a law that, we are kind of entitled to control of our face, our images,
And
so can't be used willy-nilly. It's kind of interesting. So I think the whole law aspect is fascinating. Are you thinking of law? We're going to talk about this later, but is law school something you're thinking of, or is...
No, it's not even in the realm, actually. I just really wanted those credits.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you. It sounds like you took a really good course too. Mm-hmm. So, sounds like the semester's off to a good start. Glad to hear that. Although it's only day two, but I'm sure it will go well. Let's talk a little bit about your own background first. I think I saw you're from Jordan, but tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what you were interested in as a kid. I mean, were you doing debates, speeches, declaiming, I don't know, as a 10-year-old?
Go ahead. Yeah, right. So I currently live in Jordan, but I grew up in Eagle Lake, Minnesota, which is not far from here, not far from Mankato.
Right. Yeah, so, I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. I moved to Jordan in third grade for my dad's job. Okay. And when I was younger, so like elementary, middle school, high school, I played softball, t-ball, all you can think of, any like softball related thing. I tried basketball, that didn't go very well. So I stuck to softball. And then eventually when I got into high school, I started running cross country and eventually transitioned to also running track. So I gave up softball. And then I also was big into the arts. So I was in choir, and I was also in high school in our all-female a cappella group. And we were a competition a cappella group. So if you can think of Pitch Perfect, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Listen, a heads up. I might ask you later, I've had one current student do this, to sing a little bit for us. Okay. just a heads up.
Okay.
You can say no, but whatever you want to do, if you want to do it. Oh, that's really neat. So are you, well, we can come back to whether you're continue. I know you're continuing the track, as I said in the intro.
Yeah.
Getting into co-curricular in a bit. Were you interested in? Was there a particular subject area you were interested in beyond the arts? I mean, I'm thinking in high school or even before. I mean, anything. I'm trying to figure out like your trajectory to comm studies, if there is one.
Right. I wish I could say there was. I have a couple things that kind of shaped my experience and I think how I ended up in comm studies, but my parents are both educators. My mom is the chair of the education department here at Gustavus.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Pat Visner. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's great. I didn't know that. I didn't make that connection. I made it to Gerald Visner, your aunt's, relative who is Native America's girl. Anyway, oh, that's cool. Now I can place you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead. I'm sorry. So she's the chair, your mom. Yeah. And what's your dad? So dad's an educator.
Yeah. And my dad was my high school principal.
Oh my God.
how cliche is that? But so my parents are both educators. I came into Gustavus thinking that I was going into education because I'd taken courses in high school for it. I was a babysitter growing up, a nanny. I loved working with kids. And when I got to Gustavus, I took the education J term where you like go shadow in a classroom for the month of January.
Right.
And once I took that course, I knew that teaching was not for me. And that was a good thing to realize. But
yes.
At the same time, I had taken the course called Screen. With Sarah Walter.
Oh, with Sarah. Yeah, I saw that in the blurb about you. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So she is actually my advisor now. But when I took that course with her, it was the first course in college where I felt like I was really intrigued and I was interested and I wanted to learn more. And I also have had a big love of photography for most of my life. And when I was in high school and when I go home for the summers, I assist a photographer from my hometown.
Oh, wow.
So I love working with her. And I thought that communication studies was a perfect way to combine like my passion for these courses with my love of photography. And I'm an avid social media poster. So that kind of stuff as well. And it was just kind of the best of both worlds.
That's great. And I do love, as listeners know, they've heard me say this God knows how many times if they're regular listeners. I love it when there isn't a direct path, when things don't.
Right.
Because that's an important lesson. You're a current student. You know, I mean, so many students come thinking they have to have it all figured out in advance. And no, and there's, you know, serendipity. There are all kinds of things that occur that lead one. And I wish I could say that were true of me. I'm boring. I was like, I already knew I want to be a history major. I was in love with history in high school and then in college and it continued. But I like that story of yours. Say a little bit more about Professor Sarah Walter's course Screens. I mean, I assume you're looking at screens, right? Stuff on screens.
Yeah.
What was the focus? Can you say a little bit more about it?
Well, I took it first year, so,
okay, so it's been a
little bit fuzzy, but I do remember that we watched a lot of Super Bowl commercials, and we deeply analyzed kind of what the target audience was, how to intrigue an audience, and we would even, in groups sometimes, work on designing our own storylines or advertisements, and it was a way for me to enable my creative side while also looking into things that were really interesting to me.
You triggered a memory. It's a good memory. I don't know why this happened in high school. I don't know if it was called comp studies, but this memory just came to me. I was in some course on, maybe it was on the media, right? And this would have been in, I was in high school, 67 to 71, 1967. So, but I remember loving, you know, we did some analysis of advertising. And there was this famous book, Vance Packard's The Hidden Persuaders. Anyway, loved it. I just loved that stuff. And so, you know, maybe I'd be a comp studies major if I had to do it over, at least that part of it.
Right.
Debate, not so great. I gave, you know, I was in a debate class. I can still remember the professor after I did my debate in front of the class. He got up. Imagine doing this today. He got up, Mr. Radcliffe, I can picture it, got up. He lay down sideways on the desk with his head in his hand and said, is this interesting? Meaning I had bored the hell out.
Oh no.
Yes. I now laugh about it, but I mean, yeah. Anyway. So that's great. So you have the social media, the photography. We come back to that a little bit later, because I do want to ask you more about your photography. Yeah. What's it, what took you, did you with the track and cross country at Gustavus, how did that work? Do you have to try out, or you just sort of show up as a first year student, and because you'd been doing it in high school?
Yeah, well, normally when you're trying to get on one of those teams, you might be either recruited or kind of like a walk-on. It's not, okay. The cross country and track teams don't cut. So basically, like, if you want to be a part of the team, you can pretty much be a part of the team. But since I grew up coming to campus sometimes with my mom frequently would introduce me to, well, we call him Brendo, but that's Coach Huber, Brendan Huber.
Yeah. Yep.
So I would show up at his office sometimes and be like, hey, maybe I'll run for you. And I wasn't like a state champion or anything. I was middle of the pack, but I kind of mentioned, or I wrote this down when I was thinking about how I ended up at Gustavus.
Yeah.
But I actually had my deposit down at Bethel.
Oh.
And
Bethel in Mankato.
Bethel
in
St. Paul.
St. Paul, yeah.
Like the Minneapolis area.
Yeah, yeah, in the metro, Bethel, yeah.
Yes. And when I met with Brendo and the team for the first time, that's when I knew that I had to come to Gustavus. So
wow.
That's kind of how I ended up on the team, was talking to Brendo and some of the girls that were on that team at the time. And then also I met my roommate, my first year roommate, on the Facebook page. And I was like, I love these people. I just click with them. So I came to Gustavus to run cross country. And also, when your parent works here, you get free tuition.
Yes, so, there's that too. Yeah.
You can't beat that.
No. Did you, were you, the fact that your parents worked there, did that bother you at all or give you pause or?
That's why my deposit was down at Bethel. I was very resistant to coming here just because I was like, my dad was my high school principal. I need to get away. But I'm an only child and I absolutely adore my parents. So I was like, you know what? It wouldn't be bad to go spend 4 years with my mom now.
Now, do you live? So that's, I like that. Do you live, and good for you for being close to your parents. Likewise here, my parents are gone, but I miss them every day.
Yeah,
really do. But did you, so when you came to Gustavus, or were you living on campus? Are you still living on campus? I can't remember what the rule is if you have to as a first year student, or are you commuting now from Jordan?
No, my parents, and I knew that if I went to Gustavus, I could live at home, but that's never something I wanted. I wanted to still have the full college experience of living in the dorm. So yes. I've lived in the dorm since my first year at Gustavus.
Okay. Which dorm are you in, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm currently in Rundy or Runstrom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is probably one of the oldest on campus.
I was going to say it's the oldest. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm glad to hear that too. I moved off campus. I went to Northern Illinois University, big state school.
Oh yeah.
Into Cal, but and by the way, my cousin, I'm close to my first cousin, not recently, but a while ago, retired. She was a L-Ed teacher for a long, long time.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but I think that's really important, especially what's the point of a liberal arts college, right? Residential liberal arts college, if people aren't taking advantage of that experience. That part of the experience is so important. And you mentioned your roommate. Yeah. And I just know from experience as a faculty member and on some committees, I mean, what's amazing, you know, again, maybe this is true everywhere, but I don't know it's true everywhere to the degree it is at Gustavus. The friendships people make while at Gustavus, my God, they are like lifelong in my experience. Yeah. Did your mom go to Gustavus?
No, she did not go to Gustavus. Neither of my parents did, actually. Okay.
So you're the first. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll be podcasting with your mom at some point. So let me know. You can email me whatever you want me to, all the stuff I should spring on her when we're recording.
Right.
Yeah. That's great. I did podcast with, in education, Lisa, Dabowski. Yes. That was really interesting. Professor Dabowski. Yeah.
Yes.
Great department that your mom is in. So anyway, so you come to Gustavus, thank goodness. You've been busy with, both the academic side and the sports side. Let me go back to academics just for a minute. Why the Spanish minor? How did that come about?
Well, in high school, I had the best Spanish teacher, and actually Spanish teachers, plural. I can't forget the ones in middle school and couple I had in high school. But my most like formidable experience with Spanish was with Miss Amy Peters at Jordan High School. I'll say her full name in case she listens. But she just gave me the absolute biggest love for Spanish. And every day when I went into that class, I knew that I wanted to be there and that I was going to learn in a way that was fun and also in a way that I would retain information. So coming into Gustavus, I had had the opportunity to already take two courses through MSU at my high school.
Now Minnesota State, yeah.
Right, yes. So I came in with a lot of credits, and it was a no-brainer to continue something in Spanish. Also, just because with a comm studies major, it's communication. Like having another language on top of that only makes you more valuable as an employee.
Sure. Yeah, it's cool. You had that in middle school. I don't think we had any language in what I called junior high at the time. But that was when I was in high school, I took German, I think just to be different because my mother said we had some German background on her side. But then in college, I took Spanish and wound up going to Mexico for, I guess it was half a year. Yeah, and just that was an amazing experience, going to school there. So have you been abroad and able to use your Spanish in Mexico or Spain or anywhere yet?
Well, I haven't been abroad to any Spanish speaking countries, but last J term I did get to go to St. Martin on the education J term.
Oh yeah.
And I did actually use my Spanish a couple times there. Like once that I remember was on the beach and people would come up and sell things to you.
Right. I've heard about that.
Yes. And the guy who we were friends with him at this point, but we would always get our beach chairs from him. He was talking to the lady who was selling us stuff because he'd sent her our way. And they were talking in Spanish about me. And I understood. And I replied to them in Spanish. And I was like, no pienso que yo quiero porque tengo muchas a mi casa. Like, I don't think I want one because I already have a lot.
Yeah.
And they just both looked at me in pure shock.
Oh, I love that.
And I was like, yeah, I can speak Spanish.
Yeah, that's it's out of a movie or a TV or something. Yeah. You say they think you don't know, and then you reply.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, they weren't criticizing you or anything like that. So
yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's great. What was that? Tell us a little bit more about that course. I mean, I've heard students talk about it. Is it always in St. Martin's or is it always abroad?
It's always in St. Martin, yes. So I actually wrote this as one of my most formative or memorable aspects of my Gustavus experience when I was looking at the questions you might ask.
Yeah.
But St. Martin is a very small island, a very tight-knit community. And when we went on this J-term, it was the education J-term. So basically, you're shadowing / student teaching in the classroom in St. Martin schools.
Wow.
So I started my time. We had like a split of 1 week at a certain school and then another week at a different school. So okay. I started my time in a fourth grade classroom in a public school that was more up in the mountains.
Wow.
And that's amazing. Yeah, it was, and we stayed at kind of like a hostel and sometimes there wasn't running water. It was quite the experience and definitely culture shock at first, but
sure.
I learned a lot about St. Martin and I think a lot about the kids as well. Just one thing that stood out to me was they loved learning through songs, rhythm, music, more so than even kids in classrooms in the United States, I think. But I remember one day one of the little guys in my class was just not beatboxing, but drumming a rhythm on his desk with his pencil. And then another kid was beatboxing. And it was really good. And I was just really impressed with them. But yeah, that was
such a
great experience.
And I, it sounds like you ran with that. You didn't say out, you know, which in this country,
no.
Get out, you know, or pay attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's neat. So were you actually, I think you said, but were you actually teaching the class or kind of assisting or how did that work?
I was more so assisting. We brought some student teachers with, so it was actually like their student teaching for Gustavus.
Okay.
But I mainly shadowed, and it was different because the schools there are completely different and also the norms. So One thing that's a little bit more sad is that domestic violence and abuse in the homes is a lot more common. So that shows up in school. So a lot more physical altercations. Like one day I was walking down the stairs, and this is alarming because this isn't what you see in like United States classrooms. So I was walking down the stairs to the playground, and this is like an open air school. So just mountains, like it's gorgeous. But I was admiring the view, and then I looked down at the playground, and one kid has another kid in a chokehold, and not like a joking chokehold, but a real one.
A dangerous chokehold.
I was like, let him go, let him go. And I was running down the stairs, and like to them, it was more play-ish, I think, but to me, it was like serious. So that's just one of the memories I have kind of ingrained in my head, that education is just so different when you're not in like the same part of the world that you grew up in.
Right. That's right. And I know even just reminding me, my cousin once telling this, she taught outside of the Chicago area, but telling us about a student, you know, about the same age, grade school, who, if my memory serves, was basically, living in a car, you know, it was just awful. You know what I mean? The lack of sleep and regular food and everything. And just, again, that's like being in a foreign country, you know, except in the same classroom, there'd be kids who are, you know, quite privileged and comfortable. It's very strange.
Exactly.
And so how the hell do you teach someone when they're, even just when they're hungry, right? I mean, I know how I feel when I'm hungry. Chronically
Me too.
Hungry. Yeah, you too. Yeah, it's just, that sounds like a great experience. So thanks for sharing more of that. Was that with your mom, by the way, or not? Was she part of that?
She was actually one of our chaperones.
Okay.
So that was really fun. And if you do podcasts with her, you'll have to ask her about karaoke night, because there was one night where everyone convinced her that she had to go out with them and sing karaoke. But I was actually sick with a fever that night. So I was seeing videos of my mom at this karaoke bar with my classmates, and I was laying in bed.
I don't know. I'm not going to ask you how you reacted to the video. That's great. Thanks for the heads up about that. And then I can ask your mom to do some singing as well. Oh, that's great.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of brought this up, and this is a way to transition to it. But your work at CADA, which is really, I mean, I've known it. It used to be called CADA House for some reason. That's phrases in my head. Yeah. Okay. Which is in Mankato, right? Mankato, Minnesota. Is
correct.
I said in the intro. First, how did you get that internship? I mean, was it something did you want to work at CADA, or it's just something that came up? But if you could just say a little bit more about, you know, how you got that internship.
Of course. Well, it wasn't something that I necessarily sought out. I was searching out some internship experience, and it's kind of ironic because a prof that I have this semester, Phil Voigt, I got an email from him that sent to the whole comm studies department, and it was a list of opportunities like internships. And I saw the one for CADA, and it was their communications intern, and it just looked right up my alley. So I thought that it could be really rewarding to work in a nonprofit setting and kind of try and help others in that way. So I applied and interviewed and got it within maybe a week or so. And that's how I ended up at CADA.
That's fantastic. And obviously it's doing important work. Yeah. And is it paid internship or unpaid? I don't know how these.
It's unpaid.
It's unpaid. But the experience, of course, is incredible and valuable. What, I'm curious too. So what was the interview process like, and how do you prepare? Advice for students who are seeking an internship. I mean, how to come across well. I know we have a career center that can help with this, but did you use any of that? Did you use the career center or whatever it's called now?
I wish I would have used the career center. I did not. I mainly used my parents as resources, since they do a lot of interviews too.
Right.
But I think that the interview process was pretty simple. I mainly connected with she works with their interns, and she's kind of like their recruiter, I guess you could say. She does a lot around the office, but her name's Holly. I worked with Holly and got an interview set up, and then I went in to CADA in person to meet with them and interview. And I think that specifically some advice that I would have when you're interviewing for an internship would be to practice questions that are specific to the setting that you're trying to get into. So I think one of my things that I could have done better at was thinking about what questions they might ask me for the specific work I was doing. Because CADA is the Committee Against Domestic Abuse. So there are some questions in my interview that came up that I wasn't expecting to answer. And like about specifically, how would you define maybe domestic abuse in your own words? And have you ever dealt with a situation relating to domestic abuse, sexual abuse, those kind of things?
Right.
So I just think that if you're trying to get into a company, like a for-profit setting, then there will be different interview questions than when you're trying to get into a nonprofit that relates to like domestic abuse.
Sure. But that is good advice. And I'm thinking that, I mean, that, yeah, that's absolutely true. Even if you're applying for an academic job, I mean, let's say someone's applying to the comp studies or the history department and they know nothing, you know, show no interest and don't ask a single question.
Yeah.
That's not good, you know?
No.
But that's interesting. They, I mean, it makes sense that they, actually, when I think about it, because you're their communications, would you call it intern? You know, you're working in communications for CADA. And if you don't know something about, you know, what they do and not just that, you know, they work with, you know, survivors and persons experiencing domestic abuse, sexual assault, et cetera. If you don't know what those things are, something about what those things are. Yeah. I can see why they would want you to have some knowledge about that.
Yeah.
Obviously,
definitely.
You did. Yeah, you did well. This is. I I don't even remember how I came across this. You, because we hadn't met before. Have not met before. But somewhere I saw. It may have been in a blog on the Gustavus webpage or your LinkedIn page. I'm on LinkedIn. Somehow I saw that you had written this article that I quoted from in my intro, and it's just terrific. And what I sensed immediately is not only, well, this is someone who's thinking and writes well, one.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. But also, this is someone who is clearly excited about that.
The
fact of being published, and it is exciting. I mean, it's very, and that came across. And so that's another reason I actually wanted to speak with you. But tell us a little bit about your, you know, about that article specifically, how it came about, but then more broadly, kind of what you do for your internship with CADA.
Yeah, of course. So specifically that article that I wrote, or like the recent publication, I was talking about the myths of domestic violence. And this is a challenging topic because there isn't a ton of data or evidence to back up things like false reporting, because they're just, a majority of domestic violence and sexual assault cases actually go unreported.
Right, so, as you point out in the article,
Yeah, so false reports are a common thing that are a misconception when it comes to cases of sexual assault and people reporting things like domestic violence. And I just, CADA has the opportunity to put out an article through like the Southern Minnesota newspapers, I think once a month. So my supervisor, Kristen, she offered me the opportunity to write one of those articles, and I love writing. So I jumped on it. I started doing research, and I really started to feel more passionate about it as I was researching it, because it just, as I state in the article, when there's talk of things like false reporting and people not believing the survivors who come and report these cases, it makes it harder for them to get justice.
Sure.
And in reality, statistics show that 90 to 98% of the reports of sexual assault are true. And obviously, that's never the survivor's fault. So I just felt really compelled to write an article that would make any survivors reading it feel comfortable and supported. And I also wanted to educate people who maybe weren't as familiar with the ideas of false reporting, and trying to make sure that conversations are respectful and hearing out survivors so that it does make justice a thing that they can achieve.
Right. And, you know, I have to say, you accomplished what you set out to do. It is
Thank
informative.
You.
It's educational. And you're, again, reading it, rereading it before, earlier today, before we started recording. Again, your passion, your commitment and interest comes. In other words, it doesn't read like something, oh, I had to write. It's not sort of dispassionate. Yeah. It's informative. It's informed by research, but there's also something there that, first of all, that opening is fantastic. You have a career in journalism. By the way, you have a career ahead of you in journalism, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe,
you know,
that's an option.
Yeah, seriously. Although I don't know. Don't go into it. It's maybe a dying profession, but you know, right. Something to do with writing. Seriously, yeah. I love that opening. But so talk a little bit about what you found in your research, a little bit more. Like, for example, it's okay. So there are some false reports, but they're no more. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's no more than the false reporting in any other crime. Is that right or not?
Right. Yeah. So I did a lot of digging into that because that's something that I really wanted to prove in this article, was that sometimes cases of domestic abuse and sexual assault get the reputation of having more false reports.
Yes,
but
that's right.
In reality, from statistics that I found in the research that I did, to me, it came across as that the amount of false reports of sexual assaults and domestic abuse are far less false reports than those of other crimes.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That's what I thought. And you're right. That's really true about this. And actually, I'm thinking of the case with former President Trump, E. Jean Carroll's case.
Another,
you're right. It's always... they're doubted, right? They're doubted. Mm-hmm. And somehow the idea is, well, of course, typically a woman, not always, I know, but you know, you're reporting something that in fact didn't happen. And it's, you know, sometimes he said, she said, sometimes, not always, as other evidence, physical evidence. But yeah, that's a really important point you're making. And then I think the other thing you're saying really is the real problem is, the real problem is that this stuff happens, obviously. But I mean, in terms of...
Right.
Reporting, the real problem is it's underreporting. We really don't know what the extent of this is. And can you talk a little bit about that? I think you addressed that. I remember you addressed that in the article. But why people, your experience with that, or you know, in your research, why people are reluctant to come forward?
Of course. I actually have a quote from my article that I pulled.
Okay.
And it says, the reasons for maybe not coming forward and reporting include fear of being judged, fear of not being believed. Mm. And it's also really triggering to recount a traumatic event like that. So they may not remember details, or they might simply want to move on with their life and maybe not report it. But I also think that what I was researching when I was considering the amount of false reports in other crimes versus in sexual assault and domestic abuse cases was I was looking at cases that had been someone was convicted and then their conviction was overturned and they were like, so their sentencing was not rightful or like not just because they didn't actually commit that crime.
Okay.
So that's where kind of my research came from for that. But I really do think that a point that I wanted to hit home with this article was just that when there is so much talk of false reporting, that can even create bias among the people who are supposed to be bringing justice.
Yeah.
And it makes it way harder to approach someone and share your story when there's such a high probability that they've been influenced by, say, social media stories, cases on the news, all of those kind of things. We have so much access to other opinions now.
Yes. That's a really important point as well. Did you do research in legal documents or were you sort of, what sorts of, I'm a historian, right? Sources, what sorts of primary sources were you using?
I was, as far as I remember, I was using a source from UMichigan Law.
Okay.
That I found, and it was talking about cases that have been overturned after a conviction.
Okay. Yes. Oh boy, here we are back to law. I don't know. Maybe you have to be a lawyer after all that, Abby. Wow. It's a terrific article, and it's on your.
Thank you.
Is it so people could find it if they wanted to go to your LinkedIn page?
Yes.
Is it posted? Could they find it on the CADA website too? For example, I don't know where else it might be.
It's not on the CADA website, but When I'm trying to find it, I just look up Abby Visner, the myths of domestic abuse, and normally it comes up then.
Okay.
But I also wanted to highlight that let me rephrase this. February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month.
Oh.
So I actually had the opportunity to write another article, which will be published next week.
Oh, congratulations. Wow.
Thank you. Talking in that article, I think maybe is even more informative than my first, but talking about really what teen dating violence is, and it's more centered towards parents, adults, teachers, people who have a big impact on the lives of teens.
Okay.
So I just wanted to plug that keep your eyes out for that as well.
Yeah. And I'm embarrassed. I wasn't aware of that about February. What is it called? Teen Dating Violence Month? Is that what you said?
Teen Dating Violence Awareness
Month. Awareness Month.
It's a bit of a mouthful, but
yes. Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Thank you. Black History Month. Wow. So will that also appear in the Southern Minnesota newspapers or elsewhere
as
well?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Yeah, listen, I'm not kidding. You should, at some point, you can write op-eds for the Star Tribune and other papers. Mm-hmm. But that's not an assignment. It's just a thought. You're really good at it. There is an art to it, and you've got it down. Yeah, I look forward to that. That's exciting. I'm sorry the topics are difficult, important to know about it and for you to write about it and people read about it. The other thing I wondered about this, and I realize that, I'm not asking you to speak about specifics at all, but have you had any interaction with the clients of CADA, or is it strictly you're in the office, removed from them?
Yeah, the only time that I've been on the house side of CADA was when I got my tour on my first day of my internship.
Okay.
But so I don't really have any client contact or, anything that would be considered confidential. In my work at CADA, I'm mainly in the office, and I work on our Facebook and Instagram posts. I obviously write articles, and I've also been working a lot on helping with the event planning for the CADA Galentine's Day event.
Oh, I saw that on here. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on the CADA Facebook page, I think, or LinkedIn page, I think it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's coming. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, CADA Galentine's Day is, I hadn't heard of it before I started my internship.
But I had neither.
It is a very cool event. And basically, it's a time, we like to say, for you and your besties, whether that be you and your significant other, everyone is welcome kind of thing. And it's a night of just fun. And our theme this year is friendship, florals, and frosting.
Hmm.
So for specific ticket holders, like some of our VIP tickets, have the opportunity to make flower crowns. And we have silent auction items ranging from flowers to activities like Mall of America fun passes, and then also desserts. So it will be a great night. That's on February 22nd, and tickets are actually still available right now. So we've been putting in the work for that as it is fast approaching.
It's neat. That's cool. Thank you for telling us that. And also, it just listening to you made me think. I mean, the topic, not only the acts of domestic and sexual violence are dark, are grim, are so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to remember that a place like CADA also can have events that are celebratory, right? And it's not just,
of course,
a depressing, grim,
definitely not.
Yeah, that's really important. And you're helping with that through your work. Now, I know the internship with CADA, that's continuing, right? That's what I said in the intro. Is that accurate through the spring?
Right. I think I'm going through the end of March is the time I'm going through.
Okay.
And yeah, so I started in September.
So yeah, good long stretch there. And then congratulations, we were talking about this before we started recording. You have another internship coming up this summer with was it Mystic Lake Casino, if I remember
correct?
Tell us a little bit about that. I assume it has something to do with communications and not, you know, gambling or security.
No, although I did go to Mystic on my 18th birthday, everyone in Jordan does.
I've been there once.
I'm not going there to gamble this summer. I'm working as their digital media intern.
Oh, wow.
So I sought long and hard after a position at Mystic. I basically started my summer internship search in the fall, like maybe early September. And at that point, I thought I wanted to work in sports. So I interviewed with plenty of Northwoods League teams, and just nothing felt like a great fit. And actually, my dad, thank you, Dad, sent me the link to the Mystic intern application, and I first applied for their events intern.
Okay.
And I didn't get that internship, but they said, hey, we'd like to direct you to our digital media intern. We think you'd be a good fit. And that was even more up my alley. So basically, at Mystic Lake this summer, I'll be working as the digital media intern, which includes some time working with their social media, so Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, etc., working with their advertising campaigns. And then I can also spend some time on the actual like app and website side of things. So working with the actual platforms through which Mystic promotes via their website and such.
Wow. I mean, that's huge. That's a lot of, I wonder how, do you have any idea how big that department is? Is it just you and one other person, for example? I wonder, that's a lot.
I think it's relatively big. I've yet to meet in person the department, but I know that the woman I interviewed with is just one of many members on that team. And obviously, she let me know, even when I was interviewing, that to post a singular TikTok for Mystic Lake, it has to go through a whole chain of command.
Sure.
So there's a lot of steps in that process, but something that was really unique about the internship at Mystic Lake was that you're also working on a project with other interns throughout the whole summer. And at the end, you have an event where you present your project to
That's great.
The employees at Mystic Lake.
Wow. I mean, that's great for a lot of reasons, including you that have something for your portfolio, as you apply for not internships, but, you know, career positions potentially. That's fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations. The other thing you said, that's an important lesson, I think, and again, you know how to do this, is to start early, right? As you said, you know, not to wait. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, I was a student once too. We all procrastinate, I think, but that's important because you're not the only one, right? Looking for that, that internship. So congrats. That's really exciting.
Thank you.
And that it fits perfectly what you're interested in. Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, yeah.
That's just terrific. Back to Gustavus for a bit here. Tell us a little bit about the Student Athlete Advisory Council. I had actually not heard of that until I was preparing for this recording. What's that about? What's your role in that?
Yeah, well, it's basically a group of athletes. So there's two from each sport. So there's two from women's basketball, two from men's basketball, two from women's cross country, et cetera. And we help to put on events and kind of plan things, sometimes hand in hand with SAVE, which is another athlete group on campus. But specifically, one thing that I remember that we did last year was we do a shoe drive each spring, tennis shoes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, now I know. I remember that.
Yeah.
Now I know. Yeah, okay.
So we do that. And then when the Special Olympics comes to Gustavus, we also help with like their basketball tournament.
Okay, that's great. That's neat. Yeah. And that phrase, I mean, I know Gustavus isn't the only college to use that phrase, student athlete, but that you're a great example of that.
Thank you.
We have a lot. I mean, it's one thing I like about the liberal arts college, a place like Gustavus, where you don't have to pigeonhole yourself. And as you said, I mean, at least for you said, I think you said track and field, maybe cross country, you know, sounds like I could show up and maybe make the team. I don't know, not do anything, but anyway, that's great. Thank you for that. So that helped me. I do remember the shoe, what's it called? Shoe drive or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
You mentioned singing, right? And, you know, you can say no, but listeners will be really disappointed.
And oh, no.
Your parents would be disappointed. But I wonder, it doesn't have to be a whole tune. Anything you feel like singing? I happen to really love music of all sorts. A lot of people. Anything come to mind you'd like to hum, sing?
I don't know if there's a specific song per se. I would say that if I were to sing a song, it would be Hamilton, probably.
Oh, please. Oh, my God. I beg you.
I'm an absolute musical geek. So let me
I
see
love
if I can
Hamilton.
Pull up some lyrics quick.
Oh, my God. I love Hamilton. I've seen it 3, 4. You've seen it, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you just made my day if you're going to sing
It was funny because my dad actually was the one who instigated us going to see Hamilton. And he was the only one who knew the songs, everything. And we went and saw it in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And
I swear I saw it.
And after that, yeah. And after that, my mom and I were obsessed. So definitely on the train.
Same here. I first saw it in New York with my wife. We weren't able to see Lin-Manuel. It was Javier Munoz, who was fantastic. I didn't know how I would react to it as a historian. I absolutely loved it. And I play it in my history survey course when we're talking about Jefferson and Hamilton. Oh boy. Can you find the lyrics?
Well, I was thinking of doing Aaron Burr, sir, because that's a little more speaking.
That's great.
And
yeah.
I think I've got the rhythm down.
All
so
right. Whenever you're ready. And you can
I'll go for that.
Take it away.
Okay. Pardon me. Are you Aaron Burr, sir? That depends. Who's asking? Oh, well, sure, sir. I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm at your service, sir. I have been looking for you. I'm getting nervous. Sir, I heard your name in Princeton. I was seeking an accelerated course of study when I got sort of out of sorts with a buddy of yours. I may have punched him. It's a blur, sir. He handles the financials? You punched the bursar? Yes, I wanted to do what you did, graduate in 2, then join the revolution. He looked at me like I was stupid. I'm not stupid. So how'd you do it? How'd you graduate so fast? It was my parents' dying wish before they passed. How was that?
Oh, I loved it. My God, I have a
that
big
was,
fat. Yeah.
That was
fantastic.
More spoken word. But.
That's okay. You have the rhythm down.
Thank you.
I'm not there are parts of hip hop I like or rap. But so going into the show, and I honestly did, apart from the history part, I just thought, oh my God, I don't know if I like this style. What's it going to be like?
Right.
I just loved it. And you just nailed that. That was great.
Thank you.
Clever, right? Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. You know, Yuri Hong, Professor Hong in classics, is another big fan. And she and I have talked in passing about doing some kind of course on Hamilton because it would be so interdisciplinary, obviously. No, that was well done. Thank you.
Yeah.
Did you know much about Hamilton beforehand? Had you heard of him?
Oh, no. Probably in my, okay, this is your area, but probably in my history classes, but did I remember it? Not until I heard it in song.
Yeah.
Now I could, whenever my parents and I, like, we'll be out for dinner and someone will say, like, talk less or something. And my dad and I will be like, smile more. And it's just like,
that's great.
Or someone says 1776 and I'm automatically thinking New York City.
Yeah. Oh man. You know it. Yeah. I just think it's terrific. I mean, for a lot of reasons, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in New York once, then again with my wife, Kate's sister, and then once in Chicago. And I thought that, I can't remember his name. The guy in Chicago was really great. And of course the King George numbers are fantastic. I know we need to, we should mount a production at Gustavus.
I know
how hard it would be to do, but anyway, probably. You like musicals, and does that include musical theater or just musicals on screen or both?
I guess in general, I like both. When I was in middle school or junior high, as you said, I got the chance to participate in The Music Man at high school.
Classic.
And I got to be Amaryllis.
Oh my God.
So I got to sing and be with all the big kids. So I think that maybe started my love for that type of thing.
That's so cool. I couldn't stand musicals. And here's why. they made no sense to me, you know, like suddenly breaking out into song. Not until I didn't even know, I was maybe in college, I guess, I saw the musical Cabaret, which is about what, you know, and Liza Minnelli's incredible. But that made sense to me because it was grounded in actual history and the singing. So much of the singing took place in the cabaret, which made sense. But I have changed. You'll be happy to know, I think. I mean, I now appreciate musical theater and the history
That's
of
good.
It. Yeah. And then the other, what's the other limb? Is it In the Heights? Is that the other one I think I saw?
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Finally saw that on, I guess it was on TV. God, incredible also. So yeah, I've come around. Thank God. Anyway,
right.
And your other interest is photography. You mentioned, uh-huh. I want to come back to that. So are there particular kinds of photos you like to take or all sorts?
I specifically have been interested in sports photography,
especially since
I was on the cross country and track teams. I got to take a lot of photos at meets recently. And I also got a position. I don't qualify for work study on campus, but okay. I volunteered myself to the sports info department.
Yeah.
So I've gotten to take photos at women's hockey, men's hockey, and the track and field meet. And this weekend, I'm actually on every sport that's going on campus. So I'm doing tennis, gymnastics, men's hockey, both basketballs, and then women's hockey and women's tennis.
Wow. That's really cool. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I was going to say that I think I'm just going to be bouncing back and forth because they're all happening at the same time, but I just love it. So I really could care less.
That's a really, I don't blame you. And that's a really great combo of your interests. It's social media, photography, and sports. You know, again, you're reminding me of a lot of things we have in one of our walls. We had a black lab named Sam.
Aww.
And when we lived in St. Pete, I lived to be 16 years, just like a perfect dog. I mean, couldn't have been.
Yeah.
But we went to the Mankato Moondogs baseball team one night with the woman who was helping us train Sam. And I think before every game, what they did is they threw out a ball for the dog to, each night there'd be a different, or each game night there'd be a different dog. And Sam was the dog that night.
Oh.
And of course, didn't want to come back, even though we'd been through all this training. Yes. But while he was running, while he was on an incredible tear, the photographer who was, I don't know if he was a sports photographer specifically, but took an incredible photo of Sam.
Aww.
You just see, you just see every muscle, his face, just how happy. And good for you. I mean, that's obviously,
that could be
a career. Oh, you're welcome. The other thing is, you're reminding me that we have a new, I don't know if it's started yet, but there's going to be is it sports writing minor?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Do you know if it started? I'm not sure. It will start soon if it hasn't already.
It did start. Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to put in a plug for my colleagues, Eric Vrooman in English, who also runs the Writing Center. And then also my colleague in history, Professor Kate Aguilar, who does sports history and really fascinating stuff. You should hook up with Kate at some point just for coffee. Seriously.
Yeah.
She's a great person. I'd be interested in your work. Wow. Wonderful. You're what we call a well-rounded, liberally arts educated human being. It's really exciting.
Thank you.
Exciting to hear. Yeah. And as we wind down here, I'd like to give everybody, especially current students and alums and colleagues, especially current students and alums, your kind of pitch for the place, Gustavus. I mean, why Gustavus? If you're talking to a prospective student, let's say, what's your pitch for Gustavus, and if you like comm studies as well?
Yes. So I actually wrote this down because I wanted to have it down pat.
I love that you are prepared.
Thank you. So I said the Gustavus slogan is make your life count. But I now understand that it doesn't mean to make your life count through grades or achievements, but to make the most of your experience with memories, friends, and connections. When I leave Gustavus, I will have made my life count simply through the people I've met.
Wow.
So, yes.
All right. I'm going to ask you. That's superb.
And thank you.
This isn't a memory. I was on, I'm part of the faculty, I'm a faculty member. There's some others as well. Anyway, on the admission marketing committee, the boards, we meet jointly sometimes. And we just had a meeting maybe a week ago or so. And one of the issues that marketing is working on is what does make your life count mean, right? It's not exactly self-evident to everybody.
No.
Would you mind, if you don't mind, you could either send that directly to Kim Frisch, director of, you know, VP for admission, or you can send it to me and I can send it on to her with due credit to you. I don't know whether they would use it, but it's like perfect example of how to make that comment really meaningful. And I think what you said is true, really true. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, because it sounds great. It's one of those, you know, tagline, make your life count. But yeah, wait a second, what the hell does that mean really, right? And what does it mean to you as a current student? So yeah, exactly. Well done. And the Comp Studies Department, what can we say? It's one of the, you know, look, every department is awesome. They're great, all kinds of good stuff. I'll send you the link for that. I podcasted with an other Comp Studies alum who is a prof herself. It was really interesting. Maybe last year I did that. Yeah. So this has been a pleasure. So what are you up to? Are you done with classes? I hope I haven't kept you from class.
No, I finished class at 11:30 because it was just syllabus day, basically.
Oh yeah.
So first I got out early and I've had plenty of time to do my homework and stuff. So I think The Bachelor is out on Hulu tonight.
Oh yeah.
So I think that's about it. Some homework, some Bachelor.
My brother went to Northern Illinois with me and IU, but then got into the film business and television lighting. And now his son, Jake, who was, I think he was a double history geography major. Anyway, at the University of Colorado or Boulder. Jake is in that business and works on The Bachelor.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if he still is. He did. And during COVID, they would be, you know, let's say in Mexico, wherever they were, but they were all under this big tent, you know, tent, but a bubble of some sort where they, maybe it was an actual building, you know, but they couldn't go out. And they, you know, I always wondered, they just film like one episode after another. So he was doing, involved in doing the lighting for that show, I think, until he was.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. If you see Jake Castor really fast, or Jacob in the credits, that's my nephew. So have a good evening. That sounds like a relaxing evening. It's still the second day only, right? So things will no doubt gear up for both of us as the semester continues. But yeah, I will be in touch with your mom. Don't tell her about the karaoke stuff. I'll spring that on her. And
I will.
Take good care. All right. Thanks so much for making the time. And it was really fun. And keep up the good work. I'll look forward to the next article, too.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
My pleasure. Likewise. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Learning for Life at Gustavus is supported by the Offices of Marketing and Communication and the Provost. The views expressed in this podcast are not necessarily those of Gustavus itself.